T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. And the money is flowing in the National Football League.
How about that?
Especially, we knew Trent Brown was in position to make a big payday.
He sure was.
I didn't think it was going to be that big.
Wow.
4 years, $66 million. Forget about that. That does not matter. What matters is $36.75 million guaranteed. That's the part you gotta look at. So for the second straight year, the Patriots' starting left tackle becomes the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history.
So that's the job you want. That's the gig
Isaiah
you want.
Wynn's going, yeah!
Yes, please. Yeah, I don't think anybody thought he was going to be back. Right, for a guy who was good for them last year, I think it was just sort of, it was almost like Jacoby Ellsbury. His last year with the Red Sox, you knew he was going to be gone. You didn't even want to pay him the money. You didn't even care if the Red Sox offered him a thing. You're like, all right, he's going to be gone. And Trent Brown, the entire offensive line was really good. Trent Brown was a huge question mark going into the year. He was the right tackle for San Francisco, and they were like, yeah, you guys can have him. And then he was great as the left tackle all year long and dominant in the playoffs. But you knew he wanted to cash in, and he absolutely did. The Oakland Raiders are spending money. They just gave Antonio Brown a big raise and guaranteed money and all of that. They needed an offensive lineman badly, and so they go out and sign Trent Brown. It does, to me, and not just because he's out the door, feels like a classic Raiders move where they're going to overpay this guy. He may not be in super great shape.
Cut him in a couple of years.
And he may not be as dominant for them as he was for the Patriots. Again, just my gut feeling and from some of the things that he has said, strikes me as a guy who could give you a really good contract year. And then once he's got his money, things may be a little bit different. But we'll see.
What the Patriots will get reportedly is a third round compensatory pick in 2020. Because Trent Brown is signing for this amount of money with the Oakland Raiders.
Which is basically what the Steelers are getting for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, pretty much. So what it means also is that Isaiah Wynn is your starting left tackle going into the season. I think that's what they drafted him to be anyway. And then he got hurt. They had to get Trent Brown. But I think that was the plan all along.
Now, that's a lot to put on him. You know, a rookie coming off of a season-ending injury.
Doesn't it seem like we have so much faith in Dante Scarnecchia?
Yeah.
Forget about how much we think Trent Brown can or cannot play.
Right. I mean, if you think about over the years, some of the guys that have had to fill in due to injury. Now, it did get bad at one point, and this is, I guess, though the worst it's been under Dante Scarnecchia wasn't always the worst that it was during the Daigle Yelmo years, right? Because there had been some times where Brady was getting killed. But that was also when you were going pretty low on your depth chart. You know, you go back to the Denver AFC Championship game. They were not very healthy up front, and Brady really paid the price for it. So if they have 4 out of the 5 guys that they want to start, if they're all in the game still, they've usually been pretty good.
So let's give you more examples of how the Patriots are playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. The Patriots traded a third-round pick in 2018 for Trent Brown and a 2018 fifth-round pick. Okay?
The
trade was a third-round pick for Brown and a fifth round. Brown starts all 19 games at left tackle. They win the Super Bowl. They now get a 2020 third round compensatory pick for him.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, it's just, they do those trades all the time where basically they just move down 30 picks, 60 picks, whatever it is. It's either a round or two, and then they get a player that they want. And yeah, Trent Brown, to his credit, had the best contract year possible. You know, he played well during the regular season. His team goes on a run, wins the Super Bowl. You look, you go, oh, wow, their starting left tackle is a free agent. They didn't franchise him. I don't even know if they considered franchising him. And then the next thing you know, he goes and signs with the Raiders, biggest offensive lineman deal ever. And so now, yeah, all eyes are on Isaiah Wynn. I wouldn't be surprised, Lee Adrian Waddle, he's a free agent. Maybe bring him back just for depth, just to make sure a guy who's familiar with the system. But Isaiah Wynn now, I guess no surprise. You don't use a first-round pick and then put him on the bench. So he's going to be out there next year now.
So further evidence of how the Patriots are playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. This comes from Charles McDonald, senior NFL news desk writer for SB Nation. And he just points this out. Michael Bennett, at least so far, you know, contracts will change. Michael Bennett right now has the 39th highest cap hit amongst all defensive linemen this year. His cap hit is $7.2 million.
Okay.
Among the players with a higher 2019 cap hit than Michael Bennett are Dontari Poe, Mario Addison, Star Lotulelei. I can never say
his name.
Come
on, Dale. One more shot at it. Daquan Jones. Star Lotulelei.
Yeah. Vic Beasley. These are guys who have a higher cap hit than Michael Bennett does.
And that's the same kind of deal.
Those are the moves the Patriots look to make.
Right, and that was the same thing. Now, not you didn't give up as much, you know, with the Trent Brown deal, but it's the exact same deal, but just two rounds lower. They give up a fifth, but they get a seventh in return, and they get Michael Bennett. Now, the one kind of X factor with Michael Bennett is there's rumblings that he doesn't love the current contract that he has. Because that is pretty good, and that's where it goes. And, you know, you just named all those guys that he's getting paid less than, or at least the cap hit is less than. Well, what if he wants a different deal? How is that going to play out? So we don't know the answer to that.
The Patriots planned on Isaiah Wynn starting on the offensive line last year. Injury made that not possible, but they had gotten Trent Brown, who came in, was able to do it. They win a Super Bowl. He moves on. They get a third-round compensatory pick. And as we said, for the second consecutive year, the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history is the Patriots starting left tackle.
Yeah, those guys have hit the market at the exact right time because, you know, the other great left tackles in the league, I guess, have been locked up earlier and, you know, their teams didn't let them get away. And then so they go into their contract years. I mean, Trent Brown, obviously just a one and done here in New England. Solder had played his entire career and then his contract came up and they made the right decision. And you got to feel like they're going to make the right decision again. You know, when Nate Solder moved on, I remember one of the big thoughts was, wow, Tom Brady's whole career, he has essentially played with two left tackles, Matt Light, Nate Solder. And now you say, how are they going to be able to, you know, make up for it? Well, they did just fine. And so now it's going to be three left tackles in 3 years for Tom Brady. And I saw Kevin Duffy tweeted out he wouldn't be surprised if they also drafted another offensive lineman just for another guy to throw into the mix and maybe surprise you and maybe even steal a job, something like that.
As Peter King points out, the Patriots have two third-round compensatory picks this year for Nate Solder and Malcolm
Butler. Oh, right, yeah.
They'll have two third-round compensatory picks next year. Well, one we know of now with Trent Brown and probably another one for Trey Flowers.
Well, so I wonder, do you think Trey Flowers is definitely not coming back?
I'm not.
Because I think there's a chance.
Definite.
I think he could come back.
It feels like, with the money that is being bandied about, if the Lions do go to $18 million, I have a hard time picturing Belichick doing that.
Yeah, that obviously is a lot. But I wonder if it's anywhere in the ballpark if Trey Flowers would say, hey, I really like it here. I don't know. I mean, he kind of feels like maybe that guy. The numbers would have to be pretty close. But I just look at some of the moves that they have made to this point. They cut Dwayne Allen, so that was a lot of money for a guy who I don't think was doing a whole lot. But they cut him, so that frees up some money. Trent Brown, they didn't pay, so now you're going to have a guy on his rookie deal as your starting left tackle. And so that saves. Where around the league, a lot of teams are spending a lot of money at that position. You're not going to have to. Martellus Bennett comes in, but I wonder if they end up just cutting Adrian Claiborne, and then Bennett ends up actually being Claiborne, and then you still have Trey Flowers. So I think they would have the money to spend. It's just, all right, can you get creative everywhere else?
To your point, I thought it was a good point that you made. You would think that Adrian Waddle is now more valuable to the Patriots, re-signing him
bring
and keeping
him.
Mike Reese points out that at the moment, offensive tackles currently under contract for this year. Left side, Isaiah Wynn and Cole Crosston.
Cole. You can't forget Cole Crosston.
Right side, Marcus Cannon, Dan Skipper.
I'm sorry?
Riker Matthews.
Isn't that the guy who works for ESPN?
Two of these.
Dan Skipper?
Two of these. I didn't even know
Dan
their names.
Skipper?
I did not know their names.
I like to think that I follow the team, Dale, but I am not as familiar with Dan Skipper.
Or Riker Matthews.
Riker Matthews sounds like a good name, though.
I like it.
Sounds like a good player. Yeah, so they'll probably cut all those guys. I bet they bring back Waddle. Because wasn't Waddle a free agent last year, and then they just brought him back on a one-year deal? So I bet they do that again. That'd be my guess, just to have more depth.
the Patriots were never going to pay Trent Brown this money. Heck, you'd have thought if they were going to sign some left tackle to a big money contract, it would have been Nate Solder the year before. They didn't pay him.
No, they didn't.
They weren't going to pay Trent Brown.
So now they got to feel pretty good about, all right, we can find that replacement, especially with Dante being back. And Brady makes it a lot easier for those guys, too. You know, if Trent Brown was the left tackle for Lamar Jackson or, you know, one of these guys that takes a lot of sacks, then he's not looking as good. And he may be blocking really well, but the guy's holding on to the ball forever, and then he doesn't look as good. So what Tom Brady's going to make, and it's not just receivers and running backs, but Tom Brady even makes the offensive line look a lot better.
As Bill Barnwell from ESPN points out, though, Trent Brown's going to get a huge payday. You know, good for him, happy for him. But Trent Brown, according to Bill Barnwell, and he's right, Trent Brown now goes from working with Dante Scarnecchia to working with Tom Cable.
I forgot Tom Cable is on
the
team.
Tom Cable is the offensive line coach for the Oakland Raiders. So you've got Dante Scarnecchia on this end.
Yes.
A guy who I think will be in the Patriots Hall of Fame someday.
I mean, he's got to get consideration for the real Hall of Fame.
You'd think that
he
actually
should.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think there are any position coaches.
No, but there could be a first.
But should be. To Tom Cable, who, God.
No, not great. Not great.
As Albert Breer points out, whatever Dante Scarnecchia is making, he should make more.
He definitely should. And then make sure he's here as long as Brady is. Line up their contracts. Keep those guys together for as long as possible.
You would think that Trent Brown would be sending Dante a little check.
Yeah, maybe he should. Like a little
Dante, can
thanks
I send you
season.
And your wife on a vacation
thanks
anywhere you want to go?
Yeah, doing pretty well. But again, this is no real surprise, right? I mean, maybe you didn't know it was going to be the Raiders, but you knew it wasn't going to be with the Patriots.
We thought it was going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
We certainly didn't expect the Patriots were going to re-sign him.
Oh, so good for him.
I mean, I'm not even holding out a lot of hope for Trey Flowers, although I'm hoping. And now they're bringing in a guy who, apparently, if the deal is, as we believe it's true, what they're doing is acquiring a guy who has, let's just say, had some issues in the past.
He's had a few issues.
He's going to trial in Houston, a trial that's been delayed like six times.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on
he's
there.
He's going to trial in Houston.
Right.
The charges are that he physically assaulted a 66-year-old...
Paraplegic woman.
Paraplegic woman who's a security guard in Houston. This was when the Patriots were playing the Super Bowl.
Right.
He's there to see his brother Martellus play. She's telling him he can't go here. He's saying, don't you know who I am? Reportedly knocked her out of the chair. He's going to trial for that.
Right.
Now, this is the same guy.
Good value, though.
The same guy who accused the Las Vegas police of, well, for lack of a better term, racism, for how they responded to him running from a club with a reported active shooter on site. And then, damn the luck for Michael Bennett, the police cam also had audio.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't exactly fit with the narrative that Michael Bennett was putting out there about, you know, a racist cop sticking a gun to his head, threatening to blow his bleeping head off.
Yeah.
And then you hear the audio and you hear a policeman being about as professional and calm as you could be under the circumstances.
Yeah, his story didn't really hold up there. He also had one this year after a loss to the Saints. I think it might have been a playoff game? He like got up in the cameraman's face because the cameraman was too close to him. He like got right up in his face and was screaming at him. It's like the guy's doing his job.
There's a video out there. He goes
almost
at the cameraman,
him, right?
And the cameraman starts to back away from him.
Oh, yeah. He got pissed at him. Yeah. Seems like a good dude.
The only way this will be a great deal from the Patriots, it's a good deal right now.
I mean, the deal.
The
even if you think he's
nothing.
A pill, I'm fine with the deal.
And he is a pill. But if he also brings his brother along with him at a position
Marty,
of great need right now.
That'd be nice.
If he's got any game left, that'd be okay, too. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. NFL free agency is going wild right now. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No need to to check the time as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Isaiah Wynn, ostensibly now your starting left tackle for the New England Patriots, tweeted out a few moments ago, all caps, broke the effing bank, exclamation points, with hands upraised. I'm going to guess he's maybe talking about Trent Brown there.
I think so, because he also followed that one up, Dale, by saying he earned every last cent. Proud of you, big bro. Def paved the way with a fist emoji. Isaiah Wynn also tweeted the other day, recently started watching The Office, and I real deal been missing out.
Well, there you go.
Which I, yeah, get on there.
He has respect for that.
Six good seasons to check out there, whatever it is. Maybe seven? Six?
Never seen an episode worth watching.
What? Anyway, what else you got, Dale?
So Mike Lombardi, talking about Trent Brown, tweeted out what his weight will be on opening day, how they handle the MEs, and if they don't practice like the Pats, are also questions to ask.
What are the MEs?
MEs, what is that?
What are the MEs? Are we getting anything? MEs?
MEs.
The... I got nothing.
I
got nothing on that.
But it is probably...
He's got weight claws, is what you're saying?
Well, you have to wonder, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do.
As Rossi likes to continually point out, he's a man who's not afraid to be seen with his shirt off.
No, he'll pop the top, no problem.
So, you know, some people shouldn't.
Why?
Like, I shouldn't.
If you are...
So I don't.
If you're the highest paid offensive lineman in the history
Let
of the NFL,
rip.
Who cares? You're pantsless. Just while you're fine. Do whatever you want at that point. Kidding me? Celebrate.
So Denver, I guess, picked up the option on wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders today.
He was a guy that for years has been connected to the Patriots.
It seems like every year.
And would have been a great Patriot. He would have been awesome playing with Tom Brady. But so you got to look somewhere else again for wide receivers.
Here's the list. I'm not going to read through the entire list.
All right.
But these are the players that, as of noon today, are free to negotiate with other teams. Okay? Let's see if there's anybody here. Wide receivers? Jermaine Kearse is
nope. Don't want
eligible
him.
To,
don't want him. Who else? Who
Rashard
else?
Rashard Matthews.
Nope. Wide don't want him.
Wide receiver Robbie Anderson.
Actually, you know what? Robbie Anderson's not bad. I would take Robbie Anderson. The Jet, he's a good player.
I'm a yes on
he's
that.
I'll take Robbie Anderson.
What other positions are we looking at?
Wide receiver.
Those are the only three who are technically now free. This is as
weird. Okay.
Free to negotiate with other teams as of noon today.
What about Trey Flowers' replacements if you can't get... We all want Trey Flowers.
All right, defensive line.
Yeah.
Henry Anderson.
No, that was the guy who Cordarrelle Patterson grabbed in the testicles. Remember that play?
Yeah, his wife wasn't too pleased.
Yeah, that was him. That's who that was.
Mike Pennell.
Go ahead.
Steve McClendon. I'm trying to find somebody
what?
For you. I'm just telling you.
What is
you.
This list again?
These are producers that are going to be with us this week.
yeah. I'm unfamiliar with some of these names.
We are going to be rushing to grab any of these guys.
No, I don't care about those guys. Oh, so you know what? I think also the Trent Brown thing could be another positive for the Patriots. Is if you are...
ME, medical exams.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Great. So if you are a free agent, if you're Steve Pelton or Harry Anderson or any of these gentlemen, don't you think that signing a one-year deal with the Patriots, if you can't get all the money in the world right now, signing a one-year deal with the Patriots, I think we as homers have always thought this was a good idea. But even for the businessman in the player and for their agent... Look what Trent Brown did after 1 year. Look at what, I mean, even Darrelle Revis sort of came here and reset things. If you come to the Patriots for 1 year, you're going to be on a good team. You're going to play in the playoffs for sure. There's a good chance, like a 50-50 chance or better, you're going to play in the Super Bowl. And then you can cash in after that. Maybe there's one last cash in. So I would think Trent Brown would be a great example for a lot of those guys that say, you know what? Forget, you know, trying to sign a four-year deal right now. Let's sign a one-year deal with New England, and then next year maybe really break the bank.
By the way, if you and I mentioned to you about the trade, Patriots traded a third-round pick for Trent Brown and a fifth-round pick. The fifth-round pick ended up being Juwan Bentley.
Pretty good.
So that now they'll get a third-round compensatory pick for Brown.
Right.
And they'll have Juwan Bentley as well.
So you got 1 year of Trent Brown, Juwan Bentley.
A Super Bowl year of Trent Brown.
A Super Bowl year from Trent Brown, Juwan Bentley, and then whoever you take in
and
the third round.
A compensatory third round pick.
For free.
Yeah, basically for nothing.
For free.
It's how they are just so far
ahead. What you would say is you got Trent Brown and Juwan Bentley for free, and then you swapped third round picks, basically.
By the way, they're not out looking for a starting left tackle because they think they've already got him here anyway.
Yeah, so there's definitely pressure on him. And when everybody starts to get around to writing their five big questions for the new upcoming season for the Patriots, Isaiah Wynn's got him in every one of those lists because, all right, here's the guy. Now you're asking a first-year player to be the left tackle for Tom Brady. Like that. I know he was a first-round pick, but that's still a pretty big ask.
There's a great piece on The Athletic, and it'll give you an idea of where they're going with this, because Michael Lombardi wrote it.
Okay.
The headline is, John Gruden never had a long-term plan. Michael Lombardi says his philosophy, experience over development, receivers over defensive linemen, is not sustainable. And that's what he's trying to do here.
Well, he didn't make any sense to me. John Gruden, some of the moves that they made. So he got into a spat with Khalil Mack, who was one of the, three best defensive players in football.
Yep.
And he trades him away, got a pretty good return, but still, you send away Khalil Mack. Then you trade away Amari Cooper, which I actually think they got a lot for him. That wasn't really a bad deal. But it's one of your best offensive players, clearly your best defensive player, are gone. And it does seem like, all right, here's a coach who signed a 10-year deal. So he's definitely thinking long term. Well, now you bring in Antonio Brown, who I like, but he would make more sense on a contender than on a bad team like this. And then you just give the highest paid offensive lineman contract in league history to Trent Brown, who, let's face it, has been really good for 1 year. I don't know what their direction is. And by the way, 2016, that team was 12-4, and if they didn't lose Derek Carr to injury, they might have played in the AFC Championship game. And now he has taken them and made them significantly worse.
By the way, you suggested, and I agree with you, by the way, that somewhere down the road, a guy like Dante Scarnecchia should actually be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'll tell you somebody who agrees with you.
Ooh.
Adam Schefter writes, in back-to-back off seasons, Patriots offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia has helped Trent Brown and Nate Solder to record-breaking deals. Scarnecchia deserves a commission, if not a place in Canton.
Yeah. I mean, he should. I mean, we all, for years, have known about how important he is locally. And I think it's starting to, the story is starting to go kind of nationwide now, especially with something like Trent Brown's the perfect case study for that. Because at least with, Nate Solder, you could say, all right, well, he was a first-round pick. They took him. They developed him as a team. But he obviously was a pretty highly ranked prospect coming out of college. Trent Brown, not necessarily. And then you get him from the Niners and you turn him into the highest paid lineman ever. Like that's pretty serious.
617-779-7937. Brock's in Middleborough. Hey, Brock.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So, what's going on?
So I think they're going to lock up Trey Flowers and give him the money and give him a decently long deal because everybody's saying that the Patriots don't pay people big money. They're wrong. They just don't do it often. And when they do it, it's defensive players that Belichick highly values, like Gilmore, that he doesn't have to worry about. And I think it's going to be a similar situation where a lot of people are going to be surprised when they give Trey Flowers the money and he's going to be here for a decent amount of time. But if you go back, all the big contracts Belichick gives out that surprise people, it's few and far between, but it's always these top-tier defensive players.
Look, yeah, I mean,
I hope you're right.
I really do. I hope you're right.
It just feels like the amount is beyond where they would be comfortable going. But look, maybe he'd take less.
It seems like a ton. Now, you look at some of the contracts, though, and it's taken some time, right? Like, a lot of times these guys had to wait until their contract was up. But Vince Wilfork, when they finally signed him, because he was a first-round pick, so he had a five-year deal, he was the highest-paid interior defensive lineman. Now, that probably changed. Like, all these deals get trumped, like, the next season or whatever. But at one point, I believe Vince Wilfork was the highest D lineman. Devin McCourty, when he signed his deal, was the highest paid safety. Jerod Mayo and Dante Hightower both made good money. Logan Mankins, after the holdout, was the highest paid guard. So, like, they're not – and Stephon Gilmore is the highest paid player in franchise – or defensive player in franchise history. So they will give out the money. We just – we always think of examples where they kind of let guys go, like Deion Branch the first time, or, you know, they just cut Lauren Malloy, or like we or like Richard Seymour, Chandler Jones. They wouldn't pay all those guys. But they have paid plenty of players, and it just seems like maybe Trey Flowers – could be one of those guys. I really hope that he is.
And it's entirely possible. I know Mike Giardi kind of hinted at this on NFL Network as well, that a lot of the Patriots' offseason free agency plans have to do with their own guys. You're going to have to sign Tom Brady to an extension of some kind.
Right.
I doubt you're going to let him go into his lame duck last year of his contract.
Still nothing on Gronk.
If Gronk is returning,
right,
you may want to ease the cap hit. You may want to work out something for him. Maybe Trey Flowers, although that seems a little grandiose for me. But it may be that a lot of their free agency money, they're targeting to just keep in-house.
Because their biggest needs that are out there, you would obviously, they just need to fill out the wide receiver position. They don't have any wide receivers, so that is...
Well, they got one.
That is a priority.
He's
they're
good.
They're going to go from running, you know, four wide receiver sets to just one. I guess you could go two tight ends, two running backs, one wideout. That's all you really need. Right? If Martellus Bennett comes back, you go Bennett, Gronk, Michelle, White, Edelman. That's really all you need. But outside of that, you're looking around and say they could fill some. I think they can get a tight end in the draft. They could probably get some defensive line depth in the draft because guys like, you know, Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton are probably going to move on. So outside of that, like, who's going to really? Is there a position where they really need to spend a lot of money? I don't think so. So I think Trey Flowers could be back.
Maybe I could offer a way that they could spend a lot of money.
Give it to us.
Well, that would be good too. Jeff Howe tweeted out moments ago. The Giants are still involved in trade discussions with Odell Beckham Jr., according to a source. One of the league's best wide receivers remains on the market.
Don't mind if I do, Dale.
There seems to have been some courtship going on, at least on Instagram, between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, Odell's got to come out to Foxborough and test drive some cars.
Yeah.
I would take Odell Beckham in a hot second. Now, Odell Beckham obviously makes a lot of money, and so that might make the Patriots not want to make the deal. But they have traded a first-round pick for a really good receiver before. They traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. Now, the difference, the obvious difference, is Brandon Cooks was on his rookie deal at that time, had 2 years left. They ended up, you know, as we all know, they played him for a year, then they traded him away, and then he made his money. Odell Beckham is already making his money, but if you're the Patriots, how do you not at least consider it? I mean, would you trade the number 32 pick for Odell Beckham?
Yes.
Yeah, so would I.
I don't think you'd get him for just that.
Oh, yeah, so maybe it's a first and a one-year compensatory thirds. Oh, no, you can't trade those.
Boatload of picks this year.
Yeah, you're right. So trade a couple of picks. But I think the main part of the package would be the number one, or your number one pick, which happens to be the last pick of the first round. I would trade that in a second. If you had Odell Beckham with Edelman and Gronk, oh, it's just not fair. The league, you know what? The league might step in and veto that trade. It'd be too good.
You almost wonder if the Brady Odell Beckham Jr., you know, courtship is predicated on some knowledge base that we're not privy to.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, does Brady know? You know, we've been talking about this for a month now.
I don't know.
My guess is if he did know that, he wouldn't be, you know, tweeting out or Instagramming out the stuff that he has.
Do you want to know what Odell Beckham ran at the combine?
Sure.
His 40?
What did he do?
4.38.
There you go.
Blazing. A blazer,
take
this guy.
Take the top off the defense? He certainly can.
And he's got some of the best hands in the league. Oh, he would be incredible here. 16 touchdowns, 1,600 yards, 94 catches.
If you're the Giants,
that'd be next season.
Wouldn't you sort of want to get him to the AFC if that's what you're going to do?
Right, like see you later.
If you are going to trade him,
right,
and it seems kind of silly that they would, but let's play along.
But they're a mess. They still have Eli Manning as their quarterback. It's like that
didn't make a lot of
sense.
It's
like 2 years too late to be like, this is our guy. And Odell Beckham doesn't come without some of his issues. Obviously, everything hasn't been perfect in New York.
Do you think?
He's got some stuff going on. Like, what's their record since that boat trip? Every once in a while, you get like a refresh on the tweet. They're like, Giants are like 2-20 since Odell Beckham went on a boat. You're like, oh, who cares?
Oh, by the way, they did change the rules. You can
4-19.
4-19 since the boat. Thank you, Eamon.
You can trade compensatory picks now.
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
they used to not be able to, right?
They changed the rule.
Oh, good. You got plenty of those.
I mean, you got lots of picks.
Take them. Oh, I am very excited about this.
What would the Giants accept for Odell Beckham Jr.? Because we were just saying earlier, trade compensation is never what you think it is.
It never is.
I mean, Antonio Brown just went for
a third to fifth.
The 66th overall pick and the 142nd overall pick.
That's true. So, the Giants have to be so pissed about that. Because Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown are somewhat comparable. Now, Odell Beckham is younger. He's like 4 years younger.
And
so
you should get more. For how much longer?
I got to look that up. When did he sign? Did he just sign his deal? Because last year was the fifth year in the league. So I think they gave him an extension after that. So, he has a bunch of years left. We can get what the exact numbers are. But they would get more. But I think a first and a third would get it done. Just based on what we've seen some of these other guys go for. Like, what did Cooper go for? Was it just a first? Amari Cooper last year for the, I think it was just a late first.
Jimmy Garoppolo only got a second.
I know. Yeah. They probably could have done better.
maybe should have done better with that one.
A little bit better than that.
I mean, if Jeff Howe's right and the Giants are in discussions to trade Odell Beckham Jr., and if he ended up somehow some announcements made that the Patriots have acquired him, the collective heads of the rest of the National Football League will explode.
They will lose their mind. I'm telling you, Goodell, I wouldn't rule it out that he would veto the deal. He'd be like, Patriots would be too good. It just the balance of power would be too high. What is Beckham's deal? $95 million, $65 guaranteed? Does that sound right? 5 years, $90 million. Thank you. How much of that is guaranteed, though? Do you have that?
40.95.
Oh, okay. So he's got a lot of money, but he's worth it. The guy's awesome.
His cap bill will be $21 million.
Yikes.
Yee, boy.
Hey, now. I'll still do it. Now, that probably means Trey Flowers is gone. But for Odell Beckham, come on.
Odell Beckham?
Oh, my God. Yes. Of course you got
to
do it.
You don't need to play defense.
Of course you got to do it. Now, they got guys that can do that. You're paying a handful of guys to do that. Odell Beckham would just be, what a real treat. All in on that.
Jeff Howe's right.
We were talking about, just think about that. We're like, oh, do you like Tyrell Williams? Oh, what do you think about Adam Humphries? Odell Beckham.
Well, that
please.
Was not the voice I used when I brought up the Tyrell Williams thing.
That was the caller.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think of Devin Funchess? I like Devin Funchess a lot.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr., please.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, for hockey people, they're just so damn sensitive. And I've had, you know, the great Eddie Aneman used to call them hockey Christians, you know, because they were also, you know, I'm a hockey guy. So I think I butchered Grizzlick's name, and Twitter lit up. And I said, Grizzard, man, Grizzy, you know, whatever.
That's what they call
him.
They call him Grizz or Grizzy.
So, you know, the thing with me at hockey is as a game, I just don't find it as entertaining as basketball.
Next hour, we'll bring you a cut from somebody who matters.
Oh, Dale.
Gary Tanguay.
Grizzy.
Like, by the way, nobody calls him Grizzy.
I don't think anybody does. No.
But Grizz?
That's Gary talking Grizz. Hockey.
His nickname on the team is Grizz. I've never heard anybody call him Grizzy.
Grizzy. What about the Grizzy Bear?
I haven't heard that one yet either, but I guess it's always possible. By the way, no word yet on Matt Grizzlick, who I thought broke his arm last night.
Didn't look very good.
Check against the glass. X-rays, according to the Bruins, were negative. They were hoping to get an update today on what's going on with him. I am not concerned about the Bruins. They finally lost a game in regulation last night for the first time in 20 games.
They were due.
They were due. You are having some injury issues, but none of them, I believe, are long term. Like Jake DeBrusque is in a walking boot, but you know he blocked a shot a week or so ago. The only issue with that is he can't skate.
Right.
So he's going to need a little bit of time, you know, when he gets out of the boot and, you know, get his legs back under him. David Pastrnak has been skating with a stick for more than a week now. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Pastrnak the end of this week.
Yeah, see, that would be great because that's the question. With 13 games left until the playoffs, some of the guys who are injured, the reports are they will be back, but is it like a game before the playoffs? Or, do you allow them to sort of get back into the rhythm again? Because I can't imagine, you know, regardless of what the injury is, that they're going to be hit the ice ready to go. So if you can give, and the other big thing with Pastrnak, Cassidy's talked about it, the sooner Pastrnak comes back, the more likely you'd put him on the Krejci line. But if it takes longer and longer, then maybe he's just going to play with Bergeron and Marchand. And I think where they'd be more effective would be with him playing with Krejci, because that really helps balance the lines more.
The bottom line here is that the Bruins are in a really good position. There is like a 99% chance they'll play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs. They have a 4-point lead over Toronto in the standings. They're only playing these last dozen or so games to determine home ice advantage in the playoff series.
Right.
That's what this is all for.
And no more head-to-heads, right?
No,
they took the season series 3-1, so they don't have to worry about that.
You'll get guys back into the lineup. Here's the one issue from the Bruins' perspective that concerns me a little bit. They've got two defensemen now on the sidelines in both Matt Grzelcyk and Kevin Miller, for however long that is. Which means that if you had a plan to, you know, despite his protests, rest up Zdeno Chara a little bit, you know, going down the stretch run here, that may be harder to do now.
And he also doesn't want to.
Well, he doesn't want to.
But he doesn't want to. But
Cassidy, I think, was going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, and I think, can't you still do that? Like, you know, even with the injuries, can't you just pull somebody up or you do something? Because that's more important, you know, at the end of the day, is giving Chara a bit of a breather, something like that. They have one more back-to-back, I think, is it. So maybe that's the one time you say that to him, and that's a little bit easier for him to deal with. But 13 games, that's got to be the biggest issue right now, is just who's healthy, what do the lineups look like, and everything else going into the playoffs.
They're in really good shape. They've got two goaltenders who are playing great.
Yeah, Tuukka still hasn't lost since
December 23rd.
Before Christmas.
December 23rd was Tuukka's last loss in regulation. And by the way, I didn't. Yaroslav Halak didn't play poorly last night.
No.
They got beat by Pittsburgh.
And they played on Saturday, so there was no sense. I mean, you knew it was going to be Halak.
Both teams played Saturday.
Right, but I'm saying the Rask Halak thing.
Yeah, they said going into the weekend what the plan was going to be.
Yeah.
Basically, the way Bruce Cassidy has described it is his plan is to play Tuukka two out of every three games.
Right.
You know, through the rest of the regular season. Now, if they clinch the second spot, if they clinch home in the last
two more
week.
Times in the regular season, both including the last game of the season, then you just say, what do you do with that? That last game might just be an AHL game. You might just say, like, or whatever you're allowed to do within the rules, you just say, we don't need to play anybody. We just want to get to the postseason.
I mean, it's possible that they would do that. Whatever buttons Bruce Cassidy pushes right now seem to kind of be the right buttons.
No, they are.
You know, Saturday night at the Garden, they're down by a couple of goals. They kind of fight back into the thing, but he basically benches an entire line for the third period. He took three guys out of the lineup completely, had them sit. He shuffled things around up front. He puts Chris Wagner with Marchand and Bergeron. Wagner scores a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he shuffles guys around. The other key for the Bruins is they, you know, kind of wind down the regular season and get ready to go into the playoffs. David Krejci is playing out of his mind.
He is. He absolutely is. And, you know, just think if he had DeBrusque and Pastrnak playing with him, how good he'd be going.
He gets the wingers du jour here.
I know it.
I got to admit, I'm a little puzzled by Lee Stempniak.
He's going to play, or what's the story?
Well, I mean, if you're going to bring him in, they did for Saturday's game, he doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of ice time. It's almost like, and I guess what they're trying to do is get an idea of what they have. He's a depth guy. They knew that. Injuries coming down the road, but you know, bring up Zach Senishin or somebody if you're going to do that. And maybe they'll do this ultimately anyway.
Right. Now, how do you think Charlie Coyle has played? Because obviously they made the two deadline deals.
Finally got his point last night.
I was going to say, because that was starting to, not that he was playing terrible, and not that that's the only way to judge players, but it was starting to pile up because he's played 8 games now, 0 goals, 1 assist.
Yep.
Is that they should be expecting a little bit more out of him, right?
I think they were. I think they have.
Yeah.
I think he's certainly expected more. But to your point, I don't think he's playing poorly.
Right.
He's getting opportunities. His line mates are getting a ton of shots. Backus, the first game he played with Coyle, had like 5 shots on goal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some guys put the puck in the net better than other guys
do. That's true. Your Ryan Donato update, that'd be 9 points in 9 games.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's doing all right.
And by the way, I'm...
Break up the Wild.
I'm not rooting against the guy either.
I didn't say you were. I'm just giving the update.
I know. And in a perfect world, the deal is good for both teams.
Yeah, because I know he wasn't doing anything with
the
Bruins
in Providence,
anyway. Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, and I don't care what his Providence stats are, but he has fit in pretty well there so far for Minnesota. Coyle, I don't think it's a bad fit by any means, but you're just wondering, all right, maybe that'll help him just confidence-wise, you know, finally breaking through. He's not pointless anymore with the team, and see if, you know, that starts to snowball a little bit.
I would think that most Bruins fans are feeling fairly optimistic.
As this regular
season winds down, they feel good about the scoring depth. Marchand and Bergeron are... Don Cherry actually brought this up Saturday night. Don Cherry, who sometimes says some things that make you puzzled a little
bit. Yeah, he's so mad at Carolina for their dances.
He gets mad at them, calls them a bunch of jerks. But Saturday night, Don Cherry wanted... He posed the question. He said, why isn't Patrice Bergeron getting more consideration for Hart Trophy as MVP in the league? And I mean that's the level his game is at now.
I was who's getting MVP consideration besides Kucherov, who has 110
Kucherov
points
and
is on the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the combination of that. I think the points are so overwhelming, and I know Bergeron is a great defensive forward. He's the best every single year,
but he's also really good offensively.
He has 63 points. Kucherov has 110.
Right.
And so there's your answer. And he missed a bunch of games. He was hurt. He's played in 53 games, so he would have more points had he not missed 15 games or 16 games, whatever it's been this year. So, I mean, he's had a very good season, but I think if you're just comparing him to other guys, it happens to be where the best team in the league also happens to have the guy that is just putting up these insane numbers. And then you look at all the guys in between, you know, Bergeron ranks 40th in the league in points? So that's probably the main reason why he's not getting considered.
And by the way, Don Cherry isn't suggesting he should be the MVP.
Oh, I know.
His name never even gets brought up.
Right.
The usual suspects are the guys you hear. You hear, obviously, Kucherov. You hear Patrick Kane. You hear Connor McDavid. You just never even hear Bergeron's name brought up. And that's, I think, the point that Cherry was making. He should be in the conversation.
Mm.
He's not going to win it.
Kucherov's
probably...
No, he's not.
Although... Billy made a case that, you know, Kucherov shouldn't win it.
We were talking I would like to hear what that case is.
Just that you know, he's been great. His offensive numbers are off the charts. But Tampa's so good. Wouldn't they be really good if he wasn't there?
Yeah, so we're going to penalize him for that?
No, but it's the age-old discussion. MVP is supposed to mean, you know, the most valuable player. If he's not there, if Bergeron's not on the Bruins, where are they right now? Probably not too good.
Well, we could look it up. They missed. He didn't play for 16 games. You can go see what the numbers are without.
And that was the time of year when they were playing as poorly as they played all season.
But I'm not going to penalize Kucherov. He's the one leading the way. Yeah, they were 9-6-1. Thank you very much for that, Eamon. But I'm not going to penalize Kucherov because the team is good. Like he's the best player on that team. If you want to take the next guy, I'd be like, well,
Stamkos is the second.
Like Braden
best,
Point, even, and be like, well, where would they be without Braden Point? Yeah, they'd probably still be winning a ton of games. But Kucherov is going to end with like 130 points or something insane.
Yeah, he's had a great year. He'll win the MVP.
Yeah.
We all understand that. But in Don Cherry's opinion, he should at least be giving Patrice Bergeron a little love. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.